Looking to build a web developer portfolio but not sure where to start? Go to techrally.co and click courses to sign up for the Practical Portfolio course. You will use HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and GitHub to not only build your application, but also deploy to Netlify. Start your software developer journey with a strong portfolio at techrally.co. Welcome to Outside the Code, a show about the stories behind the professionals in the tech industry. I'm Alex from Tech Rally, and on the show today, we talk to Ale Thomas, a software developer, technical content creator, and CSS pixel art guru. Discipline is important in any stage of your life. Sometimes you have to sacrifice the monetary pleasures to achieve your goals. Ale Thomas said these words very early in her career, and to this day, she lives it in her software developer journey. Join me in my conversation with Ale and get to know the person behind the Twitter account, PokeCoder. We talk about the early coding life, enjoying life through travel, milestones she accomplished, and what her future holds in the upcoming years. I'm super excited to get into it. See you soon. Ale, how are you doing?
Hi. Hey, Alex. What's up?
Nothing much. Just thank you for taking time to just, you know, have this conversation with me. Hopefully our audience could get to know you a little bit better, crack some few jokes, and talk about how amazing you are at CSS pixel art.
Exactly.
But before we do, you know, can you explain to me what Perfectos is, 2019?
Perfectos?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So how'd you know that? How'd you find that?
did you know that if you have a very unique name and a unique last name and you just search on YouTube, someone has a YouTube channel.
Oh no.
And that's the first thing I saw, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And like
The video is public?
It's public right now as of
while
we're recording, but maybe
it won't be public.
There's another video that's public as well, but maybe I'll talk about that one later
too. Oh my god, yes. Okay, yeah. Yeah, send me a message about that one. Perfectos was a program at my university that consisted, it was like a contest for a scholarship to study abroad. And you had to, so the first filter was you had to do a video saying like what your strengths were and like also your weaknesses. I think I talk about my weaknesses and stuff like that to kind of convince them to give me the scholarship. But yeah.
I see.
I got it, by the way. I got it.
Well, isn't that more reason why you should just keep it up? Because now other people can see how you did it, and then it's a good example, no?
I guess, but I look weird, I think. And then I also changed my accent. So normally I have a very strong accent when speaking Spanish, because I'm from the north of Mexico, and we have a very, very characteristic accent in the north of Mexico. And since I was applying to like all of Mexico, I like changed my accent. It sounds like so fake. So yeah, that's why I wanted away.
Well, hopefully some of our audience can cross their fingers and hope that video's still there. But if not, then I'm sorry.
Just
everyone, I exposed it. Just imagine it. But I think one thing I noticed that you said during that maybe like 2-3 minute video, because you kind of went from Spanish to English, and you mentioned that discipline is
English.
Yeah. You said discipline is important in any stage of your life, and sometimes you have to sacrifice the momentary pleasures to achieve a goal. Like, do you feel like you represent that a lot in your like tech journey, your career so far?
Absolutely. I think I was being honest, all right? The only thing fake about that video is my accent. But I think I owe it all to discipline, really. Everything in my life, relationships and my professional journey has all been thanks to being disciplined, which is hard, but that's really the key to everything, I think.
Yeah, I think that's super important, because sometimes people think that getting into tech or just programming, computer science, all of that, you know, as long as you just kind of follow the curriculum and hopefully, you know, you'll get a job kind of thing. But
you'll be surprised how much effort is involved in actually kind of just diving deep, really learning more, learning about the itty-gritty details, spending the hours and hours really trying to understand something that doesn't make sense to you at that moment. Like, people don't see that, and they just think like, oh, I should just be able to build it really quickly. And I think sometimes, like, this whole tutorial, I love tutorials, don't get me wrong, but sometimes I think tutorials come off as like, oh, the happy path, and they don't see how much the developer that made the tutorial spent like trying to figure things out before to make it look nice and pretty. But yeah, I mean, I could already tell that you have that discipline attitude, because as someone that did mostly like Java programming, from what I understand, to be able to context switch and do like CSS pixel art, and we'll talk about that more later, I think that's like a genuine, like, number one, like, curiosity. But at the same time, it takes a lot of effort to do something like that. So let's like dive in a little bit deeper into kind of like how you started into like computer science, or like it's not computer science, or like where you started from school. So, like, what did you actually study in school?
I went to school for industrial and systems engineering, which is pretty manufacturing and quality and statistics heavy. But I initially went to school actually for business. So my journey is a little weird. I started college. I went for business, international business, and I was there for 2 years. So I actually did 2 years of a major that I didn't really like. And during college, I really liked math, and I really liked Excel. So I would get like a class for Excel, about Excel, that was for business majors, but I would always like get curious and try to play around with it, aside from like what we had in class, right? So that kind of sparked this interest, and I was really enjoying those practical classes, but not the theory so much, you know? I was tired of writing essays all the time. Like, every class was writing an essay and writing like documents and stuff like that. This is not for me. And I started thinking about switching majors, but my campus only offered industrial engineering, so that's what I went with. But I did want to switch to computer science, but computer science was in a different state, so I couldn't move, and I went for industrial engineering.
Oh, that's a bummer. But I do know that you went somewhere out of state to study computer science. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Thanks to the video that you saw.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So,
it all comes full circle.
Yeah, it all connects. Yeah. You cracked the code. Yeah, you cracked the mystery. So the program was to go study abroad in, it was France, then Germany, Canada, or China, which is where I ended up going to. And since I was already studying industrial engineering in Mexico, but the program that they offered at the University in Shanghai had like a computer science vertical. So I went for that. I was already very interested in computer science, and I was already like researching on my own and studying on my own. So I thought that was a great opportunity, and that's what I went for. It was very advanced, though. And, you know, when you go and study abroad, you mostly go to party and, like, and like
try to,
tour
yeah.
around. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, but yeah, I did pretty well. I mean, it like, reinforced my interest in that area, even if I didn't do, like, super great or anything. But it kind of, like, showed me that that's what I wanted to do.
Right. Did you know that China was your first choice, or were you kind of struggling between some other locations, or did they just force you to say like, yeah, you're going to China?
Yeah, that's how it worked. So it was like, we applied like all over the country, right? And the final round was like 20 people, and they had you like go in person and do a lot of like contests and stuff like that, and like dynamics to see who would make it. And then at the end, you just got an email and it was like, you're going to Shanghai. And I was like, So I wanted to go to France initially, or Canada. So China wasn't even like in my radar. I was like, I've practiced French, so I want to go to France, or I want to go to Canada. And I got thrown to China, which was amazing. But yeah. it wasn't my choice.
Was it a culture shock for you going to China and like just
absolutely yeah. It's crazy and people are so different, but I loved it. Everything was so funny. Of course you go, I ended up going with people that couldn't stand anything, right? Like they were like, oh my god, why do they do this, or why do they eat that? And I was like so open into like trying everything, and everything was so interesting to me. It was fascinating, and I would love to go back someday.
Yeah. And I did do a little bit of research, and I saw some of your like stories where like you're in the classroom and just the shock of your face of like, wow, this class is really, really hard. How hard was it in your eyes?
Yeah, so it was, I think the class you're talking about was on neural networks. So it was very hard. Yeah. And it was like intro to machine learning. Okay. So I was like, this is for me. Like, I don't know anything about machine learning. And then I go in and the lady's like talking about neural networks and like, very, very specific stuff. And, you know, with this thick accent as well. And I remember, so most of my classes, we did have them with other people that were studying abroad. But that class in particular, I only had two classmates that were from Germany, actually. And so we hung out, we hung out the three of us, and we're like so confused the whole time. but yeah, it was hard. I remember that that class was hard, and I also had another one that was like Python, but it was like for statistics. And at the end of the class, we had to do like a presentation on like a project. And the students didn't feel like too confident like speaking English, so they gave all their presentations in Chinese, and I'm just there like, okay.
Oh no.
in that class, yeah, exactly. And the teacher was like, wow, amazing. And I was like, I couldn't understand anything. But that happened in two of my classes. The rest were pretty much in English.
I mean, studying computer science is already pretty hard, but the fact that you had to do it in a completely new country and like some classes, they don't even speak English. I can't imagine how much of a struggle you went through. But at the same time, I feel like it probably made you feel pretty confident. If you could do this, you could do anything kind of mindset.
Yeah. Is that...
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And I assume that while you're there, I mean, as hard as it was taking all those courses, there was still some opportunity to travel. So what fun places did you travel while you were in China?
I went to Beijing. Okay, so I was in Shanghai, right? I went to Beijing. Yeah. I went to this like very small towns. Those were my favorites, you know, because Shanghai is like very, very modern and like huge buildings. Also, it was amazing to like walk below these buildings and just like look up. I don't know, but my legs like would just like shake just by looking how tall the buildings were. We went to the Great Wall of China as well, which was amazing. My program was actually for a year, but because of COVID, I only got to go for a semester. So sadly, I didn't get to see much. Like everything, I was like, oh, it's okay because I'll come back next semester. You know, everything I had in mind like, was like that. But I went to Beijing, Suzhou, which is another major city there. Shanghai, I knew all of Shanghai, which is huge. It was amazing. And their subway system is amazing. It's so cool. There's nothing like it. You could also like go everywhere on a bike and or just walking, you know. It was pretty cool.
As great as these places are, I feel that it takes a certain personality to really enjoy traveling, which I think you do have, because it seems like you do travel a lot, or you just like to visit a bunch of different places.
Yeah,
do you ever think that
you
have to be very open-minded and be okay with, I guess, getting lost or not understanding the language.
Yeah.
That's probably the reason why more often than not, when I do travel like out of state, I usually go to Korea, because I could at least read the languages kind of like, the signs on the wall. But I think last time I went to Japan, it was very hard for me to navigate around, because no one really spoke English. So you had to kind of know the language just a little bit to get around. And I thought that was really tough. And I did no preparation. So that was probably a huge...
Oh, I want to go to Japan so bad, but that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. But yeah, I was going to ask, like, I was gonna ask, is there any plan to mix like your like love for coding and what seems to be like love for traveling into something? You ever think about that? Or maybe just like
actually
digital
like
nomad?
The only thing I've thought, yeah, the only thing I've thought is maybe becoming a digital nomad. I don't know yet because it's scary to think of traveling alone. And like I've said it before, like maybe I bring up the idea to my friends or something, but I'm the only one currently like in this situation where I can just work from wherever I want to. Like even my boyfriend's like has to be glued to his computer even if he's like work from home. So I'm the only one that has this freedom, and it's like I want to travel, and now that I can travel, I can't. So just because I don't want to be alone, right? But I have considered it, and I want to see the world. I would love to go to Hawaii, you know? I would love to go to Hawaii and, like, stay some time there and then travel around Mexico as well a little more and, you know, work from random places. So, yeah, I hope I can get to do it, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'll take my mom.
Yeah. I totally know what you mean, too, because, I mean, my partner and I, too, like, we have different – work schedules in a sense, but at the same time I have a lot of flexibility of where I can work. Granted, now that I do this like tech rally and podcast stuff, it might be a little bit harder to just leave my New York like room, but if I didn't have to do this, I could work anywhere, and then you could have adjusted hours as long as you have a really cool team and not have too many meetings. But I think it doesn't translate well to when you have a partner that doesn't have those similar flexibilities. So you have this power, like you said, but you can't really use it. So
the
struggle is real. It's a sad day. Yeah. Yeah. But so
the
basically,
things we do for love.
I know, right? Exactly. Exactly. If you got anything out of this podcast, it's about sacrifice and discipline. But so did you finish school back in Mexico then, or did you, how does that work? Like, how did that work for you?
Yeah. So, I had to finish the rest of my courses online. So I didn't even get to like go back on campus or anything. And, it was pretty lame, but, it was like an entire year of just like being in like pretty much what I'm doing right now. Right. Like just working in front of my computer all day, but it was also my senior year. So it was very lame, but yeah, that's how I graduated.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm sure there's some future conferences and stuff that you'll be able to go once everything really starts opening up. So, when you graduated, what was the game plan for you? Was it to just start a software engineering job right away? Because it sounds like you did a bunch of different things prior to your job at Solera. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I worked since I was 17, 18, which is what. I don't want you guys to do the math.
A longer time.
A
longer time.
No, it was 8 years ago. 8 years ago. Yeah. 7, 8 years ago. I started when I was 17. So straight out of high school, I started working. And it was mostly like out of a want more than a need, you know? Like, of course, the money was great, but it was like an extra when... you know, I wasn't that much in need, you know, to work. But I started working and I started trying a bunch of things. When there was a program during my industrial engineering degree that connected us with companies. And that was, I don't remember what year, 2017, 2018. I worked with a manufacturing company through my school. So I started like an internship project. And I was already like very interested in software engineering back then, because I initially found out about Java when I was in high school, but I didn't know that I could pursue a career in that. So it was just like, whatever, you know, this is fun. But I never thought that I could make money off it. And so that's why I went for business and then engineering and stuff like that. But anyway, I got into that company and we did like a very industrial engineering heavy project, but it lasted for like 4 or 5 months. And they used a software to like administer their to like manage their production, they made cardboard boxes. And I remember that I already knew a little bit of Java from high school. And I was like, oh, we can make these even better. You know, we can make a new app and we can, you know. So I started like implementing that when I was in school and when I was like 2 years away from graduating or so. And that's when I realized that, you know, like the company was like, oh, do you want to finish it? So my project finished like in 4 months and it was like industrial engineering. But when we presented the project, me and my team, it was another four guys and me, our like leader at the company was like, oh, do you want to stay and finish the project? And they like hired us until we finished the project, which was an app for them. And yeah, and that's when I realized that I can make money and it's fun and it's something that I really enjoy. So I changed like my mindset up into like, I can do this. And I can actually like learn on my own, you know, like just doing stuff and like tinkering on my own. And that's when I already knew that as soon as I graduated, I was going to start applying to jobs, you know, Java software developer jobs. And I guess I was like very, I don't know, confident in myself, which was pretty funny. I was delusional, I guess, because I was like, I graduated in December 2020 and I was already applying to like only software development jobs. I wasn't even applying to like anything industrial engineering. I was like, I'm going to get that software development job. And I did. And that's how I landed at Solera. I graduated December and January, I was already employed.
There's nothing wrong with having confidence. If anything, it's you need a lot more confidence in this industry because it's just I don't know. I feel like I have so many L's, but it could wear you down. But that confidence, like it could definitely pick you back up. Yeah. But how was the interview process? How was the interview process? Did you like use any resources? This job interview training video that you made a while back on YouTube that might be deleted after this episode?
I did. It was a basic HackerRank type of interview. And I did like an initial screening and I actually thought I had like sucked at it. Like, so what's the other platform that they also use?
LeetCode?
No, it wasn't LeetCode. I don't know, but they sent me one of those like links.
Yeah,
they sent me one of those links, and I did it. Like, I also like pushed it back like a lot. They sent it to me, and I was like, I am not ready for this. Like, this is too much. Like, I'm gonna practice more, and then I'm gonna apply. And then I let it slide for like a few weeks, and then the recruiter insisted, and she was like, are you done with the screening process? And I'm like, no. And then I was like, okay, whatever, I'm gonna do it. And then I did it.
Wait, what happened with the confident person that you just described like 3 minutes ago?
I'm telling you, it comes and goes. But yeah, I sat down and I was like, just to get this over with, you know. I was like thinking, I'm not even gonna make it, but I want to know what it's like so that I know in the future, right? But then I opened it and I go through it, basic like data structures algorithm kind of interview. Well, screening. It was just a screening. And I remember that they gave me my result and it was like 60 or 70. And I'm like, oh my God, so embarrassing. But I'm glad that they don't know me. So I like did pretty bad. But then they call me and they're like, you did great. Like, we want to hear what your thought process was. And I'm like, are you serious? then I had my interview, like on-site interview, which was the hiring manager and a couple other engineers, and then we made like a live coding, the typical live coding, which is horrible. Mm-hmm. But I did pass that one like completely, and they were impressed, and well, not impressed, but happy. So
happy enough to hire you.
Yeah. I got the job, and I'm very happy they trusted me. They were very nice too. So yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. And what was your experience like while working there? I think you were there for about a yearish.
It was awesome. I feel like I got lucky enough to land in like such an amazing team. As soon as I got there, everyone was so welcoming. We got along super well. We had an amazing tech lead. He was great. We actually traveled like 3 times together, like our whole team. We got along very well. And it's a group of people that I will always consider my friends as well. We just connected very well. And as for the work, it was very challenging, which I really liked. The projects were very, very cool. We worked with a lot of like car manufacturers, and so it felt pretty cool to like jump straight into working with, you know, Mercedes-Benz or like BMW and stuff like that. So it felt like really cool to actually be doing work that that mattered and that was like that important. Yeah,
right. And, yeah, I mean, more often than. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, more often than not, like, you don't get to work with these like name brand companies right off the bat. Sometimes it's just like, oh, yeah. Where do you work? And then you kind of have to explain what you do. And then it's like, oh, yeah. It's like that whole spiel. So I do have a community question. It's from Alondra. She's asking, can you speak about your experience navigating in the tech world as a woman? Maybe some positives, negatives, just your experience so far.
Well, I guess I'm a little used to it also because of my degree. You know, everyone.
That's what I was going to ask too. Yeah.
Yeah. Been through.
You mentioned like five
an engineering
dudes
degree.
In your project.
Yeah. That was my team, right? It was like, yeah. It was just me and four other guys. But yeah, even here in my school, industrial engineering is like still very heavy. Like women are like go for it a lot. You know, but still, even despite that, every class was like four girls out of 30, you know, and some classes I would be the only girl, which, yeah, it's a good thing that I managed to get along with everyone. And I also was very lucky in that I didn't go through a lot of like situations, which I know that I was lucky, right? Because I've heard like everybody has a horror story, but I think I was very, very lucky in that aspect in school. And once I started working, my team was also very supportive. I did have a situation with like harassment at work, but my team was super supportive. You know, the moment I was like, this is not okay. Like, I'm not okay with this. My manager was super supportive and it like got solved pretty quickly, which then again, I'm so lucky. Like, I don't know, but I'm just very thankful that it's been like that for me. But I was like one of three girls at Solera. So yeah.
Oh wow, that's pretty small to say.
Yeah,
the least.
And it was like my team was 20 developers, and it was only three girls, and like even. Like no Scrum Master, like Scrum Master was a woman, was a man, sorry. And also our PO, you know, everyone was a man. So, yeah.
I definitely want to follow up on that, especially like the lack of maybe like diversity as well. But I mean, I think the one thing I want to say is like, it's really cool to have, or not cool, but it's very essential to have a very supporting team that can address those things immediately versus like pushing it down. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, especially with smaller companies, you just never know because they don't have a lot of structure built around to support those kinds of situations. They're just like so focused on building or all of that. Yeah. And just like, oh, how do we deal with this right now kind of thing. But it sounds like you navigated pretty well. And at the same time, sounds like you're an awesome developer as seen in the internets. So maybe like your work speaks for itself too. So you're just kind of like mic drop, like. Yeah. Move on. Boom. But I see that you have been working for 17 plus X number of years old type of situation. And I just want to give you a little shout out to say congrats to giving your mom a house, buying your mom a house. That's crazy. Yes. I saw the announcement on Twitter, and actually I think I saw an Instagram picture too as well. And I was like, wow, this is like
the dream.
I think that's every kid's dream to do that for their parents. And like, I was like, man, I need to do that too. But it's, I feel so far away. And how proud was your mom for like seeing her daughter just like engineered the crap out of her life and then get you a nice house?
Yeah, she's beaming still. She was like, yes. She actually couldn't believe that was like my priority, you know. I think I never like voiced that concern growing up, I've always been like pretending that everything's all right and like I got this, you know, like, yeah, get me another job, like on top of this one already and like working a lot. But always, I always had that in mind, like growing up, my mom's a single mother and it's my brother and me. So it's us too. And my mom's main concern and main priority all the time was to give us the best education. So no matter like you will never get new clothes, but you'll go to the best school. So, yeah. So that type of dynamic. And we always like lived renting, you know, also. And I managed to get in the most expensive private school in Mexico. So I got a scholarship, but I still it wasn't like a full scholarship. I had like 80% of scholarship. And we still had to work, right, to pay that 20%. And that 20% was still, like, significant, being, like, the expensive school that it was. And I always noticed those, like, sacrifices. And, working, I would feel guilty, like, I would get to the point, like, feeling guilty if I, like, indulged in something for myself. When like, my family didn't have, like, this security, right? And I always had, like, this priority, like, how are you going to be a single mother of 20-year-olds and you don't own a house, right? So that was always my priority. And my mom didn't know that. My mom was like, she thought I would just be like cashing my checks and just bye. But she was very, very happy. She still is very happy.
That's awesome. And yeah. I know some parents, at least within the Asian families, like some parents, they're like that, you feel the pressure from your parents to be financially supporting them. And like, fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know, but like my parents, they don't really give me that type of pressure. So like, but in some ways, like you still want to give back no matter what, like they are your parents. And the fact that like, I would think in my head, if your mom did know that's what you were doing, she'd be like, stop doing that. Like, just focus. Yeah, put that money on yourself. Like, be better on your, like, that's what a lot of times my parents does to me. So when I saw that you're able to do it, and like it looks like she was like beaming, like even on like a single picture, like you could see how happy she is and proud she was. So like, I just wanted to like just give you a nice shout out there, because I thought that was really cool.
Thank you.
And I mean, actually, if anything, it explains a lot more about why you we're always working, right? Like never resting, always working. And sometimes people again see like the highlights on Twitter, or like, oh, you know, you just like you know you got a job because you have a computer science degree, but it's like people don't see the amount of work in the background. Exactly. And just it's connecting. It all makes sense, because like literally there's like only overlap on your LinkedIn.
Actually, like growing up and my friends and everything, you know, I'm telling you that my mom always had me in like private schools, right? I looked everywhere and they were like, they had, you know, what do you immediately think? Like, they had their life solved, right? And all my friends, like my group of friends, they were always like, wow, like you're so amazing because you're always working and like doing or like thinking on the next step and stuff like that. And they've always seen me in this way, like, wow, I just admire you so much. And I was
you're like a
so
doer conflicted. All the time.
Yeah. They're like, wow, you're a true grinder. And like, I want to be like you, and I want to like have a resume. I remember I was like 22. Only 3 years ago. Okay. So I was like, but that feels like ages ago. But yeah, my friends would be like, I want to have your resume. And like, I can't believe that you've done all this. And, like on the outside, it looks like, yeah, I got everything under control and I'm like throwing more things at me. But, there's like this pressure that I've always felt. And, that kind of like, not like, I don't consider myself, well, now maybe, but not before, like an ambitious person. It was mostly like survival mode, right? And like, like, what can I do next to not end up without a job? Or, you know, what is going to work for me so that I can pay next semester, you know? So it's like, a lot of people saw that as, wow, it was so impressive and you're so amazing. But I was really struggling. I mean, being 18, being 19, I would have given like everything to just be able to party, right? And just to like to like relax, chill like everyone else. Yeah.
Yeah. you'll be surprised how much, I mean, I don't want to say everyone should be in a situation like that, but you'll be surprised how much you can accomplish when you're like financially, physically, mentally pressured to survive kind of thing. Like, yeah. I like to kind of describe it like my boot camp experience where when I quit my job, I saved just enough money to like go to the boot camp and survive like 5 months financially. Yeah. And then I was but just kind of like, the, yeah, exactly. Like, I'm a lot more comfortable now. But at the time, you know, just like even my first job, I was getting paid enough to survive. But there were moments where I would just be like staying late in the office and like eating the snacks for dinner because I didn't want to buy dinner. So it's like you make the sacrifices. And in some ways that reminder keeps you going. I don't know if it's healthy in the long term to always think like that, but at the same time, I noticed that a lot of times, like a lot of my successes is when things are really struggling, and sometimes like I try to mimic it, but it's hard at times because, like, you know, when you are like not at the top of the you're like, remember when you were back down there, like it's a humble reminder, like you should kind of you know, keep working hard because you don't want to just like rest on your laurels. But sometimes you do got to relax. And I think moments like that where you get to like shine and, you know, celebrate your mom and like how she like was proud of you as well. I think those are like when your hard work really pays off and you could kind of see
it. Yeah, it's all worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And I assume then like while you're working that job, like you kind of were making money and getting your mom a house kind of thing. But somehow you stumbled upon Twitter. No big deal. Like, how did you stumble upon Twitter? Like, weird transition, so I admit, but I'm just curious.
So I already had my Twitter, right? I was one of those like OG Twitter users that used to have like their account for like Paramore. Like, I used to be a Paramore fan, and I would have like my account. So I started very early with Twitter, and then I transitioned to just having my private Twitter with like my group of friends. And when I started like getting very into programming, I started sharing like my programming stuff, and nobody cared about that, right? So it's like my friends from high school and my friends from like college who are doing their own thing, or they're like, they have their own businesses and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, Java is so fun. Tweet. And everyone was like, we don't care. So
we don't do that here.
yeah, shut up. And so yeah, I then thought of creating like a Twitter to share only like what I was learning and the stuff that I did like on the daily at my job and stuff like that. So I created a Twitter, and I would often like also whenever I got stuck, I would look tips. And since I've always been like very heavy on Twitter, like a heavy Twitter user, I ended up always like, you know how you Google like, I don't know, null pointer exception, white space Reddit, and then you look it up on Reddit. So I looked up things on Reddit and I looked up things on Twitter. And that's where I found that there was like this community on Twitter that was the tech community, and I was like, oh, maybe then I can share and people will actually care about me tweeting about programming. So that's how I started my Twitter. And I remember I hid it from my family first, and like my boyfriend, like I didn't even tell him, and I was like, because I was embarrassed. I would like tweet everything, and well, it all went like very crazy from there when I started sharing CSS. And that's when I eventually told my boyfriend, like, oh, look, I have 3,000 followers. And and yeah, like, surprise. And I told everyone after that, like, look at me. It's going crazy, like, all of a sudden. I was never expecting that. I was just, like, trying to connect with people that were on the same journey. But it's been pretty fun.
That's awesome. That's so interesting. Yeah. I've never met anyone that used... that didn't use Stack Overflow for looking up code stuff. I heard of Reddit, and I heard Reddit is actually a pretty good resource, but use Reddit and Twitter, that's a pretty... All right, I want everyone to know, to be as awesome as Ale, you have to use all your searches on Twitter, and that's how you'll get the engagement, apparently.
A huge tip that nobody uses either, when you're job hunting, use Twitter too. Like, everybody gets surprised when I tell them this. Like, I literally look up, like, hiring software dev on Twitter, and then we'll hiring managers or like recruiters will post like, I'm hiring or I'm looking for a software developer, and you can just like slide into their DMs and then you'll get yourself an interview. So so do that. Yeah.
How often were you doing that?
Like crazy, like every day.
we'll post this episode maybe like 2 months later, just in case. I'm kidding.
Nah, okay.
There was a community question actually from Jazz, and she was asking, where did you come up with the name PokeCoder?
So my private Twitter account, I'm going to share this with you because it's like locked anyway, so you can't read my tweets. I already had
next year you're going to get like a 500 request.
Yeah. So I had already changed it to Pika Coats. So when I was like, I didn't want like my coworkers to find me like when I was like venting about work and stuff like that. So I didn't use my name or anything. And I like went private on Twitter, and I used Pika Coats. And then when I created my Twitter account, like for PokeCoder, I was like, damn, I wish I could use Pika Codes, because that one was like my brand, and my friends were always like calling me that already because they made fun of me like, oh, Pika Codes. So I was thinking, what can have like the same kind of vibe and still be like Pokemon related? So that's why I went with PokeCoder. But initially I would have wanted it to be Pika Codes.
Mm-hmm. I see. Why did people call you Pika Codes?
Oh, because I when I started working with code, I found this picture of a Pikachu plushie that's like on a very old laptop, like typing. So I used that everywhere. And one of my friends called me Pika Codes once, and it just stuck. So yeah.
Do you feel like you resonate more with PokeCoder or Pika Codes now? Like, is it just like this battle? Like, is this an identity crisis?
Yeah, I'm like Pika Codes like on the low, and PokeCoder is like my public persona. So
yeah, exactly. I can respect that. Yeah. So how did you get into CSS pixel art then? Is it because of this fascination with like Pokemon, Pikachu, and then you're just I can't code back end of like Pikachu in any way. So how do I do this with code?
So it ended up being with like, so I told you a little bit about my journey. You know, it wasn't very structured. It was everything but structured. So when I started learning programming, I learned strictly Java, right? And I had like tunnel vision, like. I only care about Java, and I only know what I can do with Java, and I just went from there. Throughout school, I learned a lot of Python because of data analysis and stuff like that I needed for school, right? And so I knew about, like, I had a notion of other programming languages, but, you know, I never, like, sat to study HTML and CSS. So I was like, I know what HTML was, but I frankly didn't even know what CSS was. So I didn't even know what it was. And
what is it?
We started. What is it? I don't know. And so I don't know yet, but whatever.
Yeah, and, I just build it.
Yeah. So when I was at Solera, all of my coworkers were CS grads. They were computer science grads. So they had all that, you know, they knew all that. And we started a project actually with Mercedes-Benz where we needed to do like crawlers, and we needed to do like, we needed to use like Selenium and stuff like that. So as we were navigating their website, we had to use CSS and like HTML and JavaScript and stuff like that, and I was like, I don't even know what this is. So I was like, what even is this? And my coworkers were like, yeah, you know, it was like easy peasy for them. And that's when I realized that there was like a whole world out there that it had never occurred to me to study, you know. And I started on my own, and there's this free code camp course on responsive web design, web development, I think it's called. And the first thing that they teach you about CSS, I think one of the first things, they show you how to do like a heart shape or like a panda or something like that. And I was like, you can actually make shapes with this. And it just went from there. I've always been like very artsy. I have like my Instagram account where I posted like drawings and stuff like that. So I think I think I saw that it was like an intersection of those two things. And I discovered CodePen then, and I saw what everyone was creating and what people were capable of creating. So I just like came up with, you know, drawings or like images that already existed, like a Pikachu, and started recreating them with CSS. And yeah.
That's really impressive. I know some people that kind of, to what you're describing, live in the Java land, they don't really ever want to branch out, like you said. And the fact that you had this curiosity to just do something completely, what I consider very different, right? There's like HTML, CSS, like dynamically typed language, like all of like so different from what like you would see in the Java side, where it's more like data heavy backend. And now you get to kind of get the see the best of both. And I guess you kind of might have started a movement, because once you started posting pixel art and stuff, other people started posting pixel art. And then you're like getting more people to follow you, and then I could see that people were like really resonating with the stuff that you were like posting about. And like, with that being said, like, I know at that time, I think you were still probably working at your last job. And were you getting like, now that you work at Hashnode, like, was this something, was it because of Twitter that you were able to like make that connection, or did you, was it through something else?
It was Hashnode reached out to me. So that was
through Twitter.
Yeah, but I was already, they were lucky because I was already looking for another job, so it was
Twitter searched you and not the other way around.
I started looking for a job when like November 2021, but the moment I got into Solera and I like looked at everything, I knew that I would last like a year. I was like, I only want to be there a year, and then I want to explore other projects, or I want to explore other areas, you know? And a few things like pushed me into like making that like jump a little earlier. Switches in like projects, and like they were making us go back to the office and stuff like that, that I wasn't agreeing with anymore. So that kind of like hurried me into looking for a job in November. And I started my job search, but like very on the low, right? Like not actively looking. I started looking in November. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say, what do you think that your Twitter profile attracted Hashnode to you? Was it the pixel art? Was it I'm an awesome coder?
I think it was because they said when they were interviewing me, they interviewed me like 7 times, by the way. I was like, do you want me or not?
It's like they're the one that messaged you, and now they're playing hard.
And then they play hard to get. They interviewed me, and they said that they really liked how you know, with Twitter, you can actually show who you are, right? And I think they can already see that, how you interact with others, how you teach other stuff that you learn. Which is why I encourage everyone to share their learnings, no matter what your level is. Because that really shows your discipline as well. It shows how you interact with people. And that's what they were like, oh, this is what got us interested, right? Like, we see that you're very good at explaining concepts, and like my progress, like they could see my progress was like quick or fast. What's the word there? Quick, fast. That's pretty much what it was. And I think that just being on Twitter, like even when I started and I didn't even have like, right now I have like 30,000 followers, but I had like 6,000, 5,000, and it already puts you like in the spotlight, and a lot of people and recruiters start reaching out even though you're like, hello, I have 3,000 followers, and they're reaching out. So, which is like, man, important.
Hashno hasn't reached out to me. What is going on, Hashno? Come on, like, bring
you
him
need
up.
More, kidding, you need more viral tweets.
I need more viral tweets. I don't know. Maybe if I post about this podcast episode, it'll get more followers. Yeah. Who knows? Just ride on your coattails a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when Hashnode, I guess, gave you the offer, were you like a little hesitant about it? Because they're like, we use Macs here, not Windows.
I know, right? Yeah. So yes, it was a very hard decision. It was like a month of hesitation because, one, I wanted to get out of Solera like as soon as possible before they make me go into an office. And sure, then, yeah. Well, that was one of the reasons. But I was also interviewing at a lot of different places. So I eventually ended up with a few other offers and a few other like ongoing processes that I was like, should I close in on them or, you know, what do I do, right? So it was a very tough month. That was January, I think. Yeah. So on January, actually, they wanted to make us back to the office on January 21st or something like that. And I had been interviewing like December and January. And I had a couple offers and I had like still like three ongoing processes that that I was like moving forward. So I was like, what do I do? Because I wanted to run away from like having to go to the office. And also, you know, well, being a Mexican citizen, I was thinking about my work visa in the U.S. And so I had to put all those things into consideration, right? Like, what was the best decision for me? And Hashnode was it. Yay!
Yeah. I still remember you tweeting about, like, interviews and how interviews are just a drain on your body.
Oh,
and, like, sometimes,
horrible,
you know, you go through a long process and, like, you get rejected. It sounds like you got some offers as well. Like, any advice for those of us that may be in the interview process, new to the interview process, like, how should they go in to these interviews, like maybe attitude wise, technical prep wise, all that stuff?
Yeah, attitude wise, I think is the most important. Your attitude. You have to, I mean, it like your technical interview doesn't have to be perfect. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. Like I also interviewed a lot of people when I was in Solera, and even like those that had like perfect unit tests and like everything ran perfectly, some things would make you say, would I like to work with this person, you know? And then you're like, yeah, they're amazing engineers maybe, but they were a little cocky or something.
Yeah.
And that makes you like, you have to change your attitude and you have to show that you're up for learning, even if you're not like the best at, you know, reversing linked lists and stuff like that. So also, I know that it's pretty tedious to go through like coding challenges, but it's pretty much like in school, you know, when you were having like an upcoming test, you would just like prepare for it. But it's worth it. I mean, I really feel like bad because I hate these. I hate the typical live coding interview, but I mean, it's one day of suffering for maybe getting a really amazing offer, right? So, yeah, you have to show them that even though that you're not going to be doing that in the job, you have the attitude to actually like put yourself through what you need to do, right? To do the job.
Discipline.
So, yeah, it's called discipline.
Sacrifice momentary pleasures to achieve a goal, right?
Yeah, exactly. So maybe it's like a week or two that you like leave code like crazy, but it can pay off, and it's gonna pay off. So do it. Also, there's a lot of companies as well that are not doing that type of interview too. If you're like super against it, or if you have like something that doesn't allow you to go through that kind of interview, then I also encourage you to just like go on nowhiteboard.org.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's a commercial. Yeah.
That's right. So yeah, I think you're on record. You're saying with Windows you can do anything with it. But now that you're a Mac user, it's like the only interview I've seen that you've done so far. So I feel very honored that I'm the, you know, first the worst, second the best. So, you know, just gotta throw that out there. But now that you know you're using Mac, do you feel a little bit better with it? Because I do see some random tweets like, oh, threw my Mac in the ocean, or threw my Mac in the pool.
I'm not used to it yet.
You'll
I
get
mean,
there.
I like it Because are you a Mac fan? Are you a Mac fan? Before I talk,
I am now. I am now.
That stuff.
No, go ahead. I need to hear the criticism. I'm actually interviewing you on a Windows right now because it's so much faster.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was about to leave. No, I think I don't know. Like, I love the way that it feels fancier. I can't lie. It just feels like prettier, and it looks like more aesthetic. You know, it's prettier. Like, I don't know. It has that look, but I struggle a lot still, especially since I'm also used to using a mouse. So I use a mouse with it, but then whenever I'm like, oh, I remember that it's a laptop, and I want to use it like in bed, and I don't even know how to handle the trackpad. Is like so confusing to me. I also don't use that thing, that the little bar of that, the touch bar. I never use it. I don't even know what it, why it's there. and yeah, but I've gotten used to it a little. I really like a lot of things. It's super fast. The batteries last all day. What else? Well, the look is pretty. It's pretty lightweight as well. What else do I like? What don't I like? I hate that. What don't you like? I hate that you I hate that you can share audio like on Discord. I tweeted about this a few weeks ago because I was trying to like share my screen with my boyfriend on Discord, and I had to download a bunch of things and then like restart it and like disable this and enable that and whatever.
Oh yeah.
And I would just like for things to be straightforward, and you know, but some things aren't. And
yeah, it takes a little bit of time. I'll send you a few software apps that I personally use that make my life a little bit easier. So definitely. And that's kind of what you basically described is my experience with Windows, essentially, because I'm not used to the shortcuts, right? And then that's when it gets a little tough.
But
no, I totally get it. And Mac, Windows, whatever gets the job done is really the most important part. Yeah.
Yeah, it comes down to that,
Unless you're a C# developer. No, I'm just kidding. anyways, so I do want to end this off with some fun questions. And this is kind of more the community again. So Jazz is asking, are you pro pineapple pizza or no?
You know, I always see you guys like going back and forth with that topic. And I don't like stepping in because I'm honestly like indifferent. Like if they give it to me, I'll eat it. But it's not like, oh, I'm craving pineapple on pizza, you know? And if I'm asking for pizza, I am very basic. So it's just always like pepperoni. I never do anything like exotic or anything. But if they give me a slice of pepperoni of pineapple pizza,
I'll eat the pepperoni? What if you had a pepperoni pizza and a pie? Yeah, that makes sense.
Pepperoni above everything. Always.
I see. Cool. Yeah. I respect that. A person that knows what they want, you know. It's like, I'm going to get this job. I'm going to get this offer. I'm not going into the office.
Yeah.
This house, this pepperoni pizza, this is what I'm going to be eating.
Yeah.
Second question. Lorraine's asking, what is your skin care routine? Because you're always glowing.
It's oil. It's oily. What do you mean it's glowing?
No, she says it's always glowing, you know. It just reminds me of that tweet that you're like, oh, you know, I put on this makeup and it looks so good. And then like the camera is like all pixelated and you're like, why did I even do this?
Yeah. I use vitamin C and I used retinol because, you know, new to like mid-20s. And I just reached like, so I turned 25 on January. And I had like the worst crisis. I was like, I'm getting old and I'm gonna die soon and I'm getting like wrinkly.
Don't say that around me.
so I got like so concerned. I was like, this can't be happening. So I got like a lot of sunscreen, that always use sunscreen, and retinol and like my CeraVe moisturizer thing. So I got really into like skincare after turning 25. So yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm actually a lot more into skincare these past few years because of my partner. She's like, you have to use this. She used to work at like in the business side of L'Oreal, so she would get like a bunch of like free products and she'd just give it to me. I'd be like, oh, what is this? And it's like, oh yeah, this is serum. This is face wash. I was like, oh wow. Like, yeah. So now I have like a routine as well. And hopefully
that's great.
Yeah, it helps.
Yeah. Trust.
And trust here. Yeah. That's all I do.
Yeah.
So the last question is any future plans? Like, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
I don't know, you know. I tweeted a few weeks ago or days ago, I don't remember, because I have been trying to stay off Twitter for a little bit to relax. But I tweeted about not knowing what I wanna become an expert in. Like, I wanna specialize in something. And I've been really struggling with that recently. Because I really want to be able to focus on one thing only and kind of commit to it, you know. Like I've told you, I've gone through like Java and Python and like now front end, like JavaScript and stuff like that. But and I like them all, but I kind of want to like focus on something and know where my career is going with that, right? Because I feel kind of all over the place right now. So 5 to 10 years, this is not an interview question, right? Because then I'll
not
lie.
At all. Yeah. No, of course not. Yeah. Wink, wink. Yeah.
Amazon, hire me. No.
Yeah. Right. We have some DevRel positions up open as well.
I actually applied to Amazon, but they wanted me to stay in Mexico, so I needed I needed that U.S. salary. So no,
exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, 5-10 years. I hope I found my niche, and I hope I've become, I don't know if I want to be a manager or like a senior. So you see, that's the kind of thing that I'm struggling with, like finding out, because I really like people, right? I really like people, but I really love coding. So I don't know. It would have to be like an intersection of those things. And I don't know, a tech lead? I don't know. I'll have to sit down and think about it.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I personally struggle with a lot too. Some people have asked, like, why don't I get into DevRel? But then, like the things that I do now, I wonder if I just do it because I enjoy it, because it's not my job.
Exactly.
Versus, like, I could create that separation. And like yourself, like, I really do enjoy coding as well. And I don't want to like lose that. Some people have said that, oh, you know, you don't actually lose it. You still do some type of coding as a DevRel and all that. Like, you have to build out like tutorials or something along those lines. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's not the same when you have to really like dive deep into like,
and it's very all like complex, not even thing. Interacting with anyone. It's just like heavy coding. And yeah, that's awesome.
So that, I mean, yeah. So I guess my point was, like, even 7 years in, like, I'm still trying to figure it out. Like, my title says front end engineer, but like, even at my time at Amazon, I've been using like AWS, like build end to end services. And it just kind of, you just get thrown into the fire sometimes just to figure it out. And I'm like, my last job, I was mostly doing front end, but I'm kind of glad that I get to kind of break out a little bit, because I kind of went into that route that you were describing where it's like super niche down.
Yeah.
And it sometimes gets boring, right? Like, maybe Java got boring for you a little bit. That's why you started reaching, like, doing some other stuff. And I don't think that's a bad thing to do. And sometimes, like, you know, maybe for 1 or 2 years you'll do this, and then another couple of years you'll do that. And then you could just kind of take everything you learned together and, like, be more adaptable to whatever you're interested in at that moment in time. So, yeah.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah. I actually said this was going to be my last question, but I know we talked about this before we kind of started our like stream, but I think one thing that was kind of important as well is we have to learn how to take breaks, right? Yes, as experienced developers. We were kind of talking, like, maybe we were alluding to this with your experience where you're like constantly been working, constantly be grinding, like never stopping.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel the same way as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just feel like I'm just like deep underwater and I never take a time to like take a breath up, right? And if one thing I would say is, like, as for new developers getting into the industry, yeah, there is going to be some like level of, you know, extra effort that you're going to have to put in to like catch up. But eventually I think there is a point where you could kind of just be like, oh, wow, like I could relax a little bit, not coast necessarily, but just not, you don't always have to be like 130
under
miles
pressure,
per hour
yeah
all the time, because that's, I don't know, that doesn't make a tech job any more appealing just because they pay you more, right? Like, it has to, you have to have a good work-life balance. And I think maybe you've kind of achieved that a little bit, and I would encourage you to kind of just, you know, enjoy the fruits of your labor, travel more, hang out with your partner more, you know, do all those good stuff. But other than that, like, I want to give the floor to you. Like, do you have anything you want to say, any plugs, anything? Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say thank you for having me. And like you said, I think I may seem like an inspiration to many, but like you said, it's very important to step back every now and then. I'm doing this only like after years, okay? And I should have done it like sooner, I think. My job would have still been there, right? If I had stopped like a couple days. But I'm finally realizing that. And it took me to the point where I had to go to therapy, right? So it was like really bad. And so my advice is to listen to your body and be honest with yourself. It's true though that there's like, we go through seasons, right? And sometimes you have to give a little more and you have to give a little bit more effort and it pays off. But yeah, it's okay to slow down sometimes, sometimes. And I encourage you all to do that. Yes. Be gentle with yourselves, because that's the most important thing, right? Your mental health and your physical health. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. Like, above
as someone just a little bit older than you, maybe a little bit more than little, but I've definitely been feeling these like morning aches, like after I wake up from bed, and it's just like, oh, like this grind is not gonna last. I keep doing the same thing over and over again, like I was like 21 or like 19. So yeah, definitely resonate with that as well. But
yeah, I would have like weeks where my eyes were like bloodshot every single day, because I was like,
oh no,
after work, I would sometimes like even stay a few hours after work, like coding a little bit, or like, you know, oh, this unit test, I broke it. And then I would like trying to fix it. And then after that, like studying front end just for fun. I was like, oh, this not, you know, for fun, but I've always been like one person that does everything for a purpose, right? So I was having fun, but I knew in my mind, like I knew deep down that it could help me eventually. And I would end up with like bloodshot eyes, my legs super tired all the time. And then I started like pushing myself into like sleeping a little more and like going to the gym and eating better, drinking a lot of water. Yeah. So those things can go a long way when you're in front of the computer. Like
I always say code is there tomorrow. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. But
So I mean, code's always gonna be there tomorrow. And like, unless you're in an industry that's actually like in the medical field, or really, I always say we're not saving lives either. So kind of works out in that sense.
Yeah.
But Ale, just again, thank you for spending some time with me and just having some fun conversations. I got to learn so much about you, and hopefully the people listening have learned about you as well. You know, Perfectos 2019, you know, watch that video, everyone. Make sure she doesn't delete it so we can see Ale speaking some thick Spanish accents and then converting that to English. You know, if you do delete it, people are gonna message me and be like, yo, where is this video? And
I'll be like, I'm sorry. Lied.
But other than that, again, thank you. And for everyone listening, I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a comment to show support. This episode will be available on YouTube and various other podcast platforms. Tech Rally out.